Thanks for joining me. Absolute pleasure to have your company for Dwayne's World and for Midday Madness. Really appreciate all of your calls that have come through so far today. Apologies to that previous caller. We were hoping to hold news off for about 30 seconds so he could continue his point, but it's a hard out for the news, given that the news is networked. So apologies to that caller, because I was hoping to let him finish his point first. But 1-300-736-736 is the open line number for Werribee Kia, if you'd like to join me. And don't forget, it is nice to read out a few of your texts and your calls. And tomorrow, Midday Madness, after the Carlton St Kilda game, jump on the line and we'll discuss everything about tonight's game tomorrow with you as well. But Sean Higgins has been good enough to join me for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Trimacca's new cheesy range, your favourites only cheesier in his regular spot. Great to have you back this week, Sean. Welcome to you.
G'day, Dwayne. Thanks for having me back. Good to chat in what is a bit of a chaos 24 hours, isn't it?
Well, so talk me through it. It's been reported that you've got, or North Melbourne has got, 12 players already in a hub situation. 12 players have had to move out of home and jump into an Airbnb.
Yeah, well, given the proximity from the club to the hotspot areas, it was an interesting afternoon, given that it really only came to light just after lunch, I think, yesterday. And we were in at training. There was a little bit of noise around potentially guys in those zones would have to move out and relocate. And sort of within each minute passing, there was more and more information. And then it came to light that by 11:59 last night, all of our players and staff in those zones needed to move out, and we adapted really quickly. Great credit to the guys that were involved there. I'm not one of them, but they did what they needed to do and currently are in either B&B, Airbnb or hotel, whatever it is. So, strange day yesterday, and we sort of now just sit back and wait for what the next 7 days is going to look like.
So did their partners, their children move out with them, where if their partner and children stay home in a residential house, they can't go back and visit them now?
Yeah, so I believe, fortunately, that none of the guys with families were in those areas. A couple of guys have got partners. A couple I know have moved into the Airbnb with the guys as well. So all different circumstances, Dwayne. Mostly some of the younger boys that were in those areas, so they're now back living with sort of 3, 4, 5 guys in different areas around Melbourne that can facilitate them over the next week. And then, like I said, I'm sure things will change between now and then, and then we'll have to adapt again to whatever it looks like, whether it be a hub or whatever the AFL come up with.
Yeah, so now you're simply waiting for a phone call. So if you have to duck off for a second because your phone rings, I'll understand it. You're essentially waiting for a phone call now to find out what's next.
Yeah, I might get the phone call to pack the bags, but we're expecting that. I'm not sure what detail that's going to be. There's been a little bit of noise around it. I mean, I'm going on reports that you'd be across as well. I know, as you mentioned, there was the phone hookup today that basically just reinforced what we already knew last night. And it's just a matter of stay tuned, I guess, and see where it ends up. But it's going to move really quickly from what I'm hearing and clearly what you guys are reporting in the media as well. So we've just got to make sure we adapt to that. Clearly there's some circumstances in and around that's going to be interesting. Like, I've got a family at home, how it impacts them and potentially if they come or stay or whatever that is. And I'm at the moment unclear on what all that looks like.
So I presume you have discussed it as to what you will do. And we talked about it last week, whether 3 weeks is enough or whether 4 weeks is too much. Is that what you're waiting to work out? Is there a length of time where it's going to be even too much for you?
Yeah, I'm not sure. The detail's going to help that. Clarify a few questions that we've got. Then I'll sit down with my wife and, you know, we chatted last night, sort of both options and what that looks like. Ideally, you know, that period of time for me with a little girl and a wife, then if you can facilitate them to be around, then that ideally would be best. But then, you know, she's working as well. what the living arrangement looks like when we're away. There's just so many different factors that need to be taken into account to what's best for all of us, but then what's best for football and myself, and also for the girls as well. So, yeah, interesting times, Dwayne, but we'll sort of deal with it, and it is what it is, and we'll move on.
Yeah, and I think that's where times have changed a bit. The players have working wives who have a right to say, well, my job's just as important as your job, and we have to take that into account. Not every wife or partner can pack their bags and say, yeah, I'll go and live at Crown Casino in Perth for 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. And then also in and around that, the impact or the support that you've got. If you do stay here, everyone's different there. Some, maybe it's easier if they stay because they've got, you know, family and support in and around that can then help them, or a number of kids that need to stay at school or whatever it is. Others with one or two kids might find it easier to go. So I don't think it's a, you know, one size fits all here. It's definitely case by case. And like I said, it's hard to know the exact answer for my personal situation, just because I don't have any detail around, A, like where we're going, how long, what the arrangement of living would look like, what are the restrictions in place. So, yeah, interesting, maybe 24, 48 hours coming up, and hopefully that can give us some sort of direction of what's going to be best for, you know, my personal situation, but every other player that's in similar position.
So this is going to make your mindfulness in sport podcast this week riveting listening. When's that drop? And there will be a level of acceptability when a player says, no, I can't do it. And the public's level of acceptability and the current footballer's level of acceptability might be a little bit different with this one when players start making their choices as to whether they can and can't go.
Yeah, and like I said, it really is a case by case. Everyone's different situation, circumstances in their professional and personal life. So I'm not going to comment on other people's situations there, but what we need to do is just respect their current position and what they feel is best for their well-being of not only themselves, but their close family and immediate family and friends and whatnot. It will be a good chat. We might even chat about this, just some of the challenges that we'll face over the next month. And I think probably people can relate to this as well, because it's affected not just in sport, but I'm sure there'd be listeners who, you know, their personal life's changed because of this. And now we're seeing it real life for us footballers and impacting on our personal life as well. So we've got to adapt to that. The great thing is all clubs, PA and AFL, have got the interest of their people, the best interest of their people forefront. So our club's been great with that, and hopefully we can support everyone through what will be a sort of a challenging week, and then hopefully we get back to some normality, even if it is in a hub, but get back into some sort of routine where we can be with family and train and prepare and hopefully play good football.
It's going to be big, though, if one of your main players says no, like if it was, say, a Todd Goldstein said no or a Ben Brown said no, because you are in a situation right now where you're a contender if you keep winning games, and you're not a contender. You're right on that. You're in the bubble, you guys.
Yeah, so hopefully it's facilitated in a way that would cater for everyone's needs and that we would get everyone there. But like I said, there's extreme circumstances. Hopefully we can get everyone there. I know we've been bigger. We've chatted about it the last 14 weeks about adapting to different situations, being open-minded, being positive around the environment that we're given and the framework we've got. And this is just another challenge for all of us, but talking about our club, for our club to face, overcome and try and just continue to build the wins. And we're not sure how the whole season will look, but if it is the next 4 weeks in a hub, well, let's go to work and let's see what we can do on the back of being away, coming together, supporting each other and trying to still play football that will give us wins and set us up for the back end of the year and make sure we're contending, as you mentioned.
So if it was only 3 weeks, has any player voiced to you that they might not go?
No, I haven't heard that personally from our club. There's obviously been a little bit of discussion from guys at other clubs and whatnot. But like I said, it's so hard because everyone's got different challenges and circumstances in and around them. And, you know, some players in the comp have heard that have got children, their wife expecting children, whatever it is. Parents that are maybe ill. There's many different factors to come into that. I think we can't just jump to judging players from any club if they do make that decision because, you know, it impacts more than just them as a footballer. There's family and people involved, and we need to respect that. But like I said, hopefully we can create an environment that encourages everyone, supports everyone, that we can stick together and all go into the hub and make the journey and really be positive about the opportunity that we've got in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, and if it's a unified buy-in, if it's 3 weeks and you don't have any player saying no, and it's a unified buy-in, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where some of the big contenders don't have as much of a buy-in because of the circumstance that we understand, then we might see some of the big contenders this season drop off in the next month and open up a window for North Melbourne more than ever.
Yeah, so then it just focus comes back on to what we can control. And I know that a lot of teams and players are referring to that. But if you go into it exactly like you said and see it as an opportunity, make sure everyone's feeling good and their well-being's good, that it can in some ways be a positive to come together. And you just look at Port Adelaide, who are in a hub situation at the moment and have really come together, haven't they, playing good football. You know, we're a club that over the last 8 years have spent significant time away in pre-season training camps in Utah for 3-4 weeks. Many players on our list have already done this in a training form. So we'll be able to adapt to that with a training playing hub at the moment and really use it as an opportunity to bank some wins in what's a challenging year. And like you said, in many ways, you've just got to give yourself an opportunity to be there at the end of the year, and who knows what can happen.
Because you have talked to me about this North Melbourne in-game philosophy and your attacking of an opposition philosophy of a tough-it-out, grind-it-out mentality. But you could actually use that approach to this whole season, really, as a unit of a season.
Yeah, we've chatted about this year. I know we chatted through the COVID off peak of playing, you and I, around this, like challenging times, but what can you get out of it, and how can you use what we're going through as almost a galvanizing mechanism to bring the best out of you? And if it is a hub, then yeah, I guess the same thing's got to happen, doesn't it? You come together. We're really in a fortunate position that Shorey's been driving this and really big on it, along with Brady, and the rest of our coaches. That if we adapt really well, we can use this in our advantage and a great opportunity. And like I said, control what you can control, and you're never sure where that may take you, and be open to whatever's possible this year. And it's an exciting year. It's got its challenges, no doubt. But when you step back and look at it, we're still playing footy. We love that. People are in far worse situations than us. So we'll deal with what we need to deal with and get on with it, and hopefully play some good footy over that time.
Talking to Sean Higgins, North Melbourne star. Ben Brown's form. Sean, explain it to me.
Well, it's if you look at it on the surface, then, I mean, less goals than what he's been able to produce over recent years. But, you know, there's more to just football than that, or his role. And don't get me wrong, he and all of us would probably love him to be kicking more goals, but there's different factors in and around that. We're getting good looks at other guys through our forward line. I think at the end of the game last year in the last quarter, you saw just how many options and avenues we had. He was part of that, played a great role for us in that last quarter to bring us back into the game. And also probably lacking a little bit of supply and opportunity in the first half last week. It definitely wasn't a reflection of what Browning was doing. It was more what was happening up the field. So he's working harder than anyone during this time to source the different ways to give himself an opportunity. We need to help him like that as a team. But also the most important thing that we just want him to keep doing is playing his role, presenting and being one of six forwards that functions up the ground for us, which helps us give us different looks and I guess be a little bit more unpredictable to the opposition than we have been in the past. And he's doing that. And, you know, there's been no talk internally about a lack of goals because really it's irrelevant who kicks them as long as we're kicking them as a team.
Hawthorn was saved by the bell a bit last week. What did you make of Alistair Clarkson's comments? You nearly got him.
Yeah, well, it felt like that. You never like to leave it a game where you need to reel in 31 points in a shortened quarter, probably in, what did we do that in, 10 or 12 minutes. We gave ourselves a great opportunity. It felt like we were coming. Even in the last minute, we created two or three more opportunities to hit the front. We nearly did. We'll take positives out of that. We got a 15, 20-minute patch in that last quarter, the game looking more like we wanted to. The frustrating thing or the disappointing thing is we sort of left it to that time. So how do we create more chances for us earlier in games and play that sort of football, which, like I said, helps our forwards out earlier on in games and give more of a four-quarter effort rather than coming back in the last quarter or second half, which is a little bit of trend at the moment. So the positive is we're finishing games really well. We're clearly grinding it out. The spirit and in intensity late in games is great. One of the highest scoring teams in the second half. Now it's a matter of getting that right in the first half and being in the contest and then being able to finish off the game like we did a couple of weeks ago against GWS.
So Clarko's comments, did you think it was an ugly game or and whose fault was it if it was?
It never felt like either side could get real flow into their offensive side of their game, probably until 15, 20 minutes to go in the game when we sort of dominated the time in possession and the forward half gain and our inside 50s were through the roof. But up until then, yeah, didn't feel like it was setting any records in terms of goals or attractive footy, but it is hard to judge that when you're out playing. You're probably in a better position. You see a lot of games. There was a lot of talk around the holding the ball and that sort of thing. So out there, all I felt was great pressure that Hawthorn applied. We then really stepped up the pressure in the second half. That creates a lot of tackle pressure. Whether that some of them should have been resulted in free kicks, then I'd have to go back and look at all of them. But it just felt like it was a really high-pressure game early where neither team were able to get their offensive game going. And like I said, we tweaked a couple of things and got that going later in the game. But it's just been a funny season. It's gone in momentums within games, momentums for teams. Teams are scoring really heavily in patches of games and not sure why. I don't have an answer to it, but that's how it felt. It was probably a little bit reflective of the whole year and I'm not sure if you saw it that way as well.
Yeah, well, I got lucky on the weekend. As I said, I did Port Adelaide and the West Coast Eagles. There was plenty of flow in that game, plenty of goals kicked. And also did on the weekend Brisbane and Adelaide. And Brisbane were fantastic to watch. And there was plenty of flow, even though Brisbane's a team that does use the boundary line quite a bit in comparison to other teams. So, you know, I didn't have to, you know, accentuate how bad your game or the Geelong-Melbourne game was because I watched that as a viewer, not a broadcaster. And I kind of looked at those games as being the outrider of the weekend. But Alistair Clarkson was in the middle of one. So he emphasised the one bad one. I reckon we could do that every week if we wanted to emphasise how bad the one bad one is. And if Alistair Clarkson's Hawthorn plays in the one bad one, well, he might actually accentuate it every week as opposed to accentuating the really good one. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week as a result, Sean. Do you expect more holding the ball decisions to be paid given for decades now we've talked about a rule of the week? It seems like this might be the rule of the week this week.
Yeah, well, and if it goes that way, Dwayne, it's going to be tonight, isn't it? Normally precedence is set early on in the round. Be interesting. I'm sure you'll probably chat about it tomorrow. How it looked tonight, was there a... it's not as if it's a rule change. It's just that maybe the interpretation slightly of what's enough prior opportunity or not, because that's really where it sits. I think the clear holding the ball ones are paid when you've got enough time and you don't dispose of it correctly. The interesting ones, and a lot of them happened in our game, is when you pick it up, tackled immediately, and you're still stripped, so you don't have that prior opportunity, but it looks like you haven't disposed of it correctly. that's the one where if there's a change, it's going to be have to be around that. So whether we look at the prior opportunity or whether we look at how you dispose of the ball, then at the moment you have to have prior opportunity to be able to dispose of it correctly. And if you tackled after that, then it would be paid holding the ball. Just wasn't the case on the weekend where guys had a lot of time, were then tackled, so it was an easy decision. So stay tuned tonight. It'll be interesting to see. But I tend to agree with you that maybe that was just one out of the box where there were so many tackles laid in the game and little rewarded because of just how quickly that pressure was applied.
So even if you haven't had prior opportunity, and you tackled and you fumble it, should that be holding the ball?
Well, there's going to be views on either side of that. If that would be a significant change, given how well teams pressure now, because tackles are up, pressure's up, there's a lot of numbers around the football. Maybe that would encourage guys to look to tap the ball on or actually not take possession of the football, whether we want that or not. I'm not sure. And this is why there's always counter arguments for and against. Maybe it is just slightly tightening it up a little bit that we still want to encourage guys to take the ball. We want to encourage the good players to drive through the footy and take the game on. But if you do that and you've had enough time and you're tackled by a really good tackle that's you've either coughed up the footy or it's spilt free, then that's the free kick. There might be a balance in there where we don't have to sway it right to the tackler, but we also reward really good tackles that were executed well that strip the player of the football while he's had enough time to have got rid of it. So I don't think it has to be a significant tweak. We're only probably talking of sort of half a dozen a game, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Sean, I better let you go just in case your phone rings and you get told where you're going and when. I really appreciate your time and for enlightening us all. When does the Mindfulness in Sport podcast that you do every week drop this week?
It'll be Friday afternoon, so jump on that. And I look forward, maybe next week I'll be in a different destination, Dwayne, so we'll chat then.
Yeah, love to. We'll get Sean Higgins' Hub Life up and running as a weekly segment. In fact, we'll try and tap into as many AFL footballers in the hub and try and get an understanding of what their hub like looks like over the next few weeks. Sean Higgins, North Melbourne Star, joining us for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Macca's new cheesy burgers are your favourites, only cheesier, and mozzarella sticks are back, but only for a limited time, available after 10:30 a.m. And just a reminder, the AFL Record Digital Edition is out now, available at sen.com.au and the SEN app, all thanks to Kasia. And Urban Alley, Australian-made hand sanitizer, is SEN's official hand sanitizer, available now at urbanalley.com.au. Stick around, plenty still to come.